It's the two-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels, brought to you by Footballogy.com, the study of all things football.
All right, and we're live. Episode 12, apparently maybe 11. I don't know.
It's
what's going on, Bryce?
Okay, episode 11 is going to be one of those lost episodes may be floating around out there on the internet. People are going to have to go find it or something. If they're desperate for some two-point conversion.
Disappointing. I hit a 13-1. I hit a 4-team parlay on that episode.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I'll give it to you right now. We just went through it. New Orleans, Kansas City under, Atlanta, San Diego over, New England to cover, and Cincinnati to cover, and it just never got out there.
Yep.
I could have won the people money, but
basically we had a call-in guest, and the audio was awful. It just didn't go through very well. His phone was cutting out, and I think there was something wrong with our end, and so the audio was just bad, and I tried just cutting out just the guest, but then I went back and listened to it after that, and we referenced
so many times.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is going to be awkward and weird. I don't know if I should just post it like it is and just let people deal with it. And then I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to put bad content out there. So,
That's all right. If you've been fiending for two-point conversion, we are back. We are back. Ready to go. We are sponsored by Footballogy.com. It's a study of all things football.
Yes, it is. It's a fantastic website. You guys should go check it out. I think you should change his slogan to, like, making better football fans
making
or something.
Making better football fans. I like it.
Be sure to check us out on Facebook.
Of course.
It's the two-point conversion.
iTunes and Google Play
number
as well.
Number two. Yes, iTunes and Google Play.
Yeah,
Find us there. Rate,
the
share,
two-point,
like.
Yeah. Follow all of it. Business. Subscribe. The two-point conversion, the number two. I kind of want a YouTube channel, but we'll talk about that some other time.
I'm working on that, too. That's coming along the way. Part of that was the new logo that we got for the show.
Yeah, fantastic new logo.
Got a new logo for the show, so that'll look a lot better than just staring at the back of that stupid referee's head that we've had previously.
Yeah.
We actually had a custom logo made, so that's done. And so we're going to get into that. As far as how the show is going in terms of the numbers and everything, of course, not having a Thursday episode started to bump us down a little bit. But what I found very interesting, because of not posting, people are still listening to the podcast numerous days after it's been posted.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes until the games are played, and then
it stops.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So.
Like on Saturday, we had like 9 plays. And I don't have a clue where those 9 plays would have come from because I wasn't posting it, I wasn't advertising it or anything. So
you're telling me basically we have more plays than Brock Osweiler had completions tonight.
Yes.
Let's not mix words. Last night's the Seattle Arizona game was the worst game in NFL history.
We're gonna get
period.
To that.
Tonight's was very bad, very bad.
Yeah, it was very bad. And I can give you a couple of. Games that battle this for that one for worst game in the history.
I'm sure I know we're gonna get to it.
Okay, guys, I want to say real quick, you definitely want to check out the Thursday show. The Thursday show is going to have an interview with Sihan Fahey. He has been interviewed on ESPN Radio. He's got a website called PreSnapReads.com. He is incredible. He is so good at breaking down the NFL. And, he can talk about it on a level that makes us kind of look silly, I think. So we're going to have him on the show. He's agreed to come on the show. And that is going to be a great show.
It's going to happen every now and again. It's not going to happen a lot, but every once in a while.
We're going to nail some really nice guests.
Exactly. Well, people that are just going to be talking
above our heads.
Level. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We encourage that.
Yes,
and
we
if
do.
You're one of those and you just happen to be listening to the show, you feel like you could talk some football with us, by all means.
Yeah, hit us up on
us
Facebook.
A DM, a Facebook message, something. Mm-hmm. You can find a couple of ways to get a hold of us. Quick shout out. I think her name is Jessica. I'm not 100% sure of her name, but as one of my many jobs, I have a lot of jobs. One, I'm a poker player. Two, I'm a server. Yes, I am. Not only did she listen to the morning show, she recognized my voice. She was like, are you on the radio? Yeah, I knew I recognized that voice. But she was wearing a Ohio State jersey, and we started talking about that. And then it was like, oh, by the way, I have you need to listen to the podcast. She was like, two-point conversion. I was like, oh, that is freaking awesome. That is awesome.
That is awesome.
So, they lost to Penn State.
They
big shout-out to
her. That offense is bad.
No, bad.
Bad offense. JT Barrett. Something ain't right with JT Barrett.
How about if you want to talk college for a little bit, or just a second, Texas Tech and Oklahoma? Did you see the numbers?
They had the other problem.
The other, yeah. Their defense
no defense.
Bad. Pat Mahomes, 750-plus yards passing, along with two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
On the other side, Oklahoma's quarterback, I can't remember his name at the moment because I don't play fantasy because they outlawed it, 565 yards and seven touchdowns for Baker Mayfield. Just ridiculous. Stupid. Over-under, 172, and it went over. It didn't, but they scored like 130 points. I think it was 66-59.
Yeah. All right, so let's get straight into these games and recap some of the games that actually mattered this week. The first game I got on the docket is the Giants 17, Rams 10 over there in London.
We've talked about London games before.
Yeah, they're
awful.
And
London games kind of are the same as Thursday Night Football, and me and Aaron talked a little bit about this earlier today, Aaron Wright from the Morning Show, Lone Star 92.9. However, that Thursday Night games are almost immoral.
Yes.
Because... Mm-hmm. The rest.
They don't get enough rest.
You're playing NFL games on 3 or 4 days rest. That's how would that's a thing? I'm not sure. But London games are very similar, I think, because of that layover and
the layover, the jet lag.
It's a very long trip, and they are almost never good. 17-10, the Giants do win. Case Keenum, four picks. Are we going to see Jared Goff?
Okay, my little birdies have told me he is in no way ready to play in the NFL.
Case Keenum is not the future of the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I agree with you 100%. He's not the future of the team, and he's not even the current of the team. He's awful.
Yeah.
Bring in a vet or something. From what I understand, the coaching staff believes if they put Jared Goff in, it will completely destroy him. He will be ruined. He needs more time, more practice. He does not have it. Yeah, they missed. They missed. Quietly, the coaching staff is saying, hey, we missed.
Yeah.
We missed on this guy. So, you know, maybe they can salvage it and bring it around. I don't know. But that's, you know, it's not looking real good. Tavon Austin.
I was a week early. 10 catches, 57 yards.
10 catches for 57
targets.
Yards.
Yeah.
5.7 yards per
catch.
That is pathetic.
It's not good.
I do not know why this guy got the paycheck that he got. $49 million extension. It's insanity.
No more insane than Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler is just as insane, yes.
There's some maddening ones, and Tavon Austin
definitely. The thing about Tavon Austin is we had many seasons of being able to watch and say he's never done anything, right?
Yeah.
So his, to me, is more insane, where Brock Osweiler, he came in, he won a bunch of games, and he thinks maybe,
spots.
You know.
I think Tavon has showed up in spots.
Yeah, he's inconsistent.
But not consistent.
No.
In the least. I got to be honest, I'm missing my, I'm going to have to go look up his name, but I'm missing my running back that was there last year, just fast as lightning.
Where last year?
L.A.
Los Angeles. Gurley.
No. 2 years ago, then. Whatever it was. Keep talking.
I don't know who you're talking about, man.
Okay.
You got a running back that played for L.A. that was fast.
Real fast.
I guess he played for St. Louis, technically.
Yeah, St. Louis. He was real fast.
Nope, I can't think of who you're talking about. But, yeah, Giants win 17-10. New York won't go away, man. They've been just consistent and just – I mean, not consistent, but they keep winning enough to stay in the hunt on the
Trey Mason. Sorry.
Well, just interrupt me right in mid-sentence.
But no,
cool.
Now, 4-3, Giants do win.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, the NFC East is crazy. Everybody's winning.
Everybody's above 500.
Everybody's above 500.
That is, if we would have mentioned that before the season started, I would have thrown us out of the studio.
Right.
Everybody is above 500.
Everybody's above 500. And we go. So that's going to be a tough division. It's shades of the early 90s when everybody knew that what they say NFC East was the division of champions.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you could come out of the East, you were set up for the future. So you know, we'll see how that goes. But that division right now is looking really strong. And the Giants, they're sticking around in it.
Yeah,
I don't think they're the class of the division, but they're still in there.
I don't think there is a class other than Dallas. I really don't. I'm not impressed with Philadelphia anymore in the least. I know they beat Minnesota. I'm not impressed with Minnesota.
No.
The Giants, the Redskins, Dallas just runs through that division. I think they finished 13-3, 14-2, depending on if Romo comes back for a game or two. And
that's some insanity.
I just don't. There's nothing there. I don't know why they're over 500. They're not playing good football. None of them are.
Right.
Washington looked very bad against Detroit over the weekend.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Chiefs 27-21 over the Saints. You called the the under on this one?
Yeah, I had the under at 50. And
ooh,
it barely slid in there. Well, I didn't know I didn't know New Orleans was going to be able to really get it going on the road, and Drew Brees did.
Yep.
367, three touchdowns. He did throw a pick. However, fantasy gold, Michael Thomas, love this guy. Love this guy.
Yep.
Absolutely love. You do, because he's from Ohio State, mm-hmm. I'm sure. 10 catches, 130 yards. Led the team in targets at 13. Brandon Cooks usually struggles on the road. He found the end zone once, 7 catches for 58 yards. But, and we alluded to this last week, Kansas City's the second-best team of the AFC.
Right. I wrote here the Chiefs are for real.
Yeah, the Chiefs are definitely. Not,
they're
a
football team.
You know who's for real? Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware is a monster. And he's just letting Jamal sit as long as he needs to. And
there are a lot of corollaries between the Jamal yeah. Charles, Spencer Ware, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo
yeah.
thing, where they're letting that health come back, and you're sitting there going, when he gets healthy, I don't know if I want him back, you know, because the other guy's doing so well. And both franchises really lucked into just a replacement for a top-notch, top-flight NFL player. So,
and that's very true. And I think something that you're seeing evaporate slowly is that timeshare in the backfield of Kansas City, because it was, even with Jamal out, and I call him Jamal, I don't care. Even with Jamal out, it was Spencer Ware and Charkey West. And now Charkey West is kind of slowly being phased out. He only had 4 carries for 5 yards, wasn't involved in the receiving game at all. And Spencer Ware is just, 77 on the ground on 17 carries. And 2 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He made that passing game look like a threat, along with Tyreek Hill. He only had 1 catch, but woo, what a catch it was.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
a catch it was.
Oh, no doubt about it. So I got the Saints offense is starting to, because it looked bad early in the season. And it's starting to come back a little bit. It's not great, but putting up 21 on the road against Kansas City, who have a really, really good defense.
Yep. Especially at home. They play a lot better at home
than they
do on the road.
They do. So I'm not saying that they're...
I know.
I'm just saying that I could see a situation where they rip off a bunch of wins on their offense.
They're gonna need 3 straight at some point. They're going to need 3 straight, and they're gonna need it soon. They're 2-4 right now.
Well, they're not likely to face a defense as good as Kansas City's for a while.
Yeah.
So I see a Saints mini winning streak coming in the future. I'm not saying they're gonna make the playoffs or they're gonna run down the Falcons or anything like that. They could absolutely. I'm not predicting that yet. But I see a mini winning streak coming in the Saints just based on offense.
They got the Seahawks this weekend at San Francisco. That's going to be a win. They play Denver, who I'm not impressed with. However, C.J. Anderson looked good tonight. Devontae Booker had a little bit of him on the Monday, Thursdays. And then Carolina and then Los Angeles. So there's potential for some wins. Detroit and Tampa after that. I don't know if they make the playoffs, but I think they're going to probably finish with a 7-9 at worst.
Yeah, yeah.
I think 7-9.
But I could see a 9-7 and snagging one of those wild card spots. So it's possible.
I mean, when you look at that passing attack, and you got Drew Brees, who we talked about, he throws for 300 yards every game. Every game, 300 yards. He just broke some kind of record over the weekend. 37 for 48, 363, and 3 touchdowns. And you look at this receiving core. He's going to have a 500-yard game at some point. He is. Michael Thomas, Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks. You got your tight end, Kobe Fleener. Mark Ingram catching passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saints are dangerous when they have the football.
Yeah, I think they're dangerous offensively, and I think it's going to, like I said, lead to a little some wins here. They're going to string together a few wins. You said they got Seattle next. Usually I would think maybe they don't have a chance in Seattle, but we'll get to it later. But if Russell Wilson's knee isn't healthy, I think anybody's got a chance against Seattle. So let's move on to the marquee game of the weekend, one everybody was talking about, Eagles 21-10 over the Vikings.
Everyone was talking about it for the wrong reasons, because in the first quarter, I think there was 4 or 5 turnovers.
There was 5 turnovers,
five turnovers
in the first quarter.
And I don't think Minnesota is that good. I just don't. They have a Pro Bowl worthy. They have an all-star cast at defense. They know how to play defense. They can shut people down. Offensively, you're telling me Cordell Patterson leads the team in catches and yards? That's unacceptable. Who's the running back? Jarrett McKinnon? Matt Asiata?
Right.
Why am I supposed to get excited about this team? I just don't get it.
Let me tell you, you're coming at it from the, and we, you know, this is kind of the interplay between us. You always come at it from the fantasy perspective. Who's getting the targets? Who's making the yards? Whatever.
Not in this case.
I'm coming at it from the game film perspective, because this. Look, I was driving all day on Sunday, so I missed most of the games. So I'm having to go back and watch these games. And that basically all I've done today is just watch snippets of the games. And then the only game that I really studied was the Eagles-Vikings game.
I watched quite a bit of this
and
one.
And let me tell you something. I can't remember the last time I was as disappointed in a coaching staff as I am with the Minnesota Vikings coaching staff right now. Those guys had 2 weeks. It's the only time in the NFL where teams make legitimate changes to their team. It's the only time, because you don't have time. You play on Sunday. Usually you get Monday off or like light conditioning or whatever. Then Tuesday's game planning. Wednesday's installing the game plan. Thursday's firming up the game plan. Friday's a walkthrough, and bam, you're back in the. I mean, it's that fast. Bam, bam, bam. So you don't have time. So you have that one opportunity to make adjustments to your offense. And they have a quarterback who wasn't in training camp, so they need to create plays for him. And it's their one real opportunity to do that. And they were coming out in the most boring, basic, old-school offense. Like, I'm talking about back when they used to protect with seven and only send three out. And no rubs, no picks, no...
It was a straightforward.
No creativity. It was really, really, really straightforward, and it was hard to watch on film.
It was hard to watch live.
I was just like, why are they not doing anything like what NFL offenses now are doing? It looked like an NFL offense from 1996.
Yep.
And there's a reason why nobody runs that type of offense anymore.
It's because it doesn't work. I mean, the game has evolved past that.
You look at what the Cowboys do, and they've built this running attack that looks like the 92 Cowboys in terms of the running game, but the passing game is dramatically different from what Aikman and Irvin and those guys were doing. There's only a few even route concepts they even still use from those days. I don't know what Minnesota's doing. Really, really disappointed in Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner. I don't know what's going on there. Philadelphia wins that game. Yeah. Carson Wentz didn't look that good to
me. He didn't look good at all. Top receiver was Josh Huff, 4 catches for 39 yards. The defense, Philadelphia's defense, is something to look at moving forward. I think they scored something like 26 or 28 fantasy points. Now, you say, I just want to touch on this for a second, that I'm looking at this from a fantasy perspective, and I obviously do. I wear the DFS and the fantasy goggles. However, when you look at this team, when you look at this offense as a whole, what am I supposed to be getting excited about from a game perspective, from a fantasy perspective at all,
right.
in any perspective? Look, Sam Bradford, I've always had a problem with in the NFL. He's just not that guy.
Sam Bradford, I said this, I think on our very, very first episode of this show, I said Sam Bradford is a guy that if there's no one around him and he has a clean pocket, he is just deadly accurate. He can put the ball exactly where he wants it. If there's nobody around him, but as soon as you get bodies around him, he goes to crap like that.
Bryce, when are you going to get that in the NFL?
Not very often. And for this Minnesota team, even less often, because that offensive line is not very good.
Speaking of another tangent of the offensive line, their running backs are not very good at all. Mike Asiata, I looked at him as a contrarian play this week, and I didn't play him. I went to Zenner from Detroit, but Matt Asiata is miles ahead of Jerick McKinnon. There is no way you're selling me on Jerick McKinnon. 11 carries for 43 yards. A couple of weeks ago, I think he rushed 19 times for 30 yards. This guy needs to be phased out, eliminated. They need – something else has to happen. Something else has to happen for Minnesota. Otherwise, you're going to see losses, and you're going to see –
Their offense isn't very good, and that defense is legit, but I don't think they're going to keep them in enough games for them to make damage in the playoffs.
The defense is seriously legit, but they're going to have big trouble scoring points. Asiata is basically a fullback that plays running back, in my estimation.
Yeah.
And he runs like it, and every once in a while he can barrel off a nice
game. Yeah, like 16, 18-yard run or whatever.
Exactly.
But
his long from scrimmage was 29.
Right.
I mean, he occasionally gets those. He's a good goal line running back, but as far as your speed back or your shifty back, they don't have one.
Right.
They do not have one. And then you go into the wide receiving category. If Stephon Diggs is banged up or not playing well or just off, you are in a world of hurt, because after that, it's Adam Thielen.
Yep.
I like Adam Thielen, but he's got to have somebody
else.
He's
not a number one threat.
No,
right.
No. And we all know about Cordell Patterson.
Right.
Kyle
what
Rudolph.
What happened to him, man?
I know.
He looked incredible his rookie year,
yes,
and he just never put any more. He's one of those guys that's faster than everybody else and thinks that's enough to succeed in the NFL, and it's just not.
Between Cordell Patterson and Kyle Rudolph, that is 122 yards off 12 catches. Cordell Patterson and Kyle Rudolph had more catches than the rest of the team, or as many as Adam Thielen, Asiata, Diggs, McKinnon, and Ronnie Hillman, apparently, who... Jerick McKinnon is not working.
Yeah,
that's not the answer.
Yeah, why is Ronnie Hillman not getting more carries if he's there? I didn't even know Ronnie Hillman was there.
I didn't either.
That's how underutilized he is.
He had
offense.
One carry for -6 yards.
Awesome.
On the opposite side, Philadelphia's got problems. I've said it the last 2 weeks. I am not sold. I don't know what happened on that bye. I don't know what they changed, but they are not the same team that they started as. Carson Wentz has the throws that this guy was making are just... I remember a week or a couple of episodes where we were comparing him and Dak, and there is no comparison.
Right now, there's not a comparison.
Zero
which
comparisons.
Is very kind of crazy when you think about it, how much those comparisons have just fallen by the wayside. And right now, I'm telling you, if they put them all back in the draft and redrafted them, L.A.'s yeah. taking Dak Prescott.
100%.
That's what they're doing.
100%.
And that's just crazy to think, you know, because just a couple weeks ago, we were going, you know, it could be Wentz, it could be Prescott, I don't know. You know, that's...
And I know Minnesota's defense is stifling, but when your top guy, Jordan Matthews, is getting 3 catches for 10 yards, Philadelphia's got problems. I don't care that they won this football game. They're 4-2 in the NFC East. They're not going to touch Dallas this weekend. And look, Philadelphia won. Both these teams have problems. Minnesota's in a world of hurt moving forward. In my opinion, I know they're 5-1. They're going to slide. They're going to slide, and they're going to slide far. Philadelphia is as well.
All righty. Well, I'm going to, as a Cowboy fan, I hope that you're right that they can't touch Dallas this weekend. That'd be good news for me. Let's move on to the Lions 20-17 over the Redskins. First note I got, Kendra was right again. She's got that she's got a magic 8-ball. This is something
she's
we talked about.
She's got the
about.
Cousins
8-ball. Yeah, we talked about this in the lost episode that's gone.
Yeah.
That Kendra has a magic 8-ball, and the only thing it says is good cousins or bad cousins. That's it. And she predicted bad cousins and a upset with the Lions over the Skins, and she was right. So there you go.
I mean, 30 for 39, 301. That's not Stafford's numbers.
Oh, that was Cousins' numbers?
Cousin threw for 3 in the hunt and a touchdown. I'll tell you who he didn't freaking throw to, Pierre Garçon, but we're not going to talk about that because he cost me a lot of money.
I told you Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Yeah, you
I
did.
Was all over Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, you did.
But I also was thinking that there'd be a lot more going on with it because the Detroit's pass defense has been pretty bad, but they shorted up at least enough to get that win. What was Stafford's numbers? Can you read those off? Because that guy's moving into absolutely elite category.
Well, Cousins have better numbers, 18 for 29 for 266 and a touchdown. I think Cousins came later
as
he
garbage.
Was playing catch-up. Basically, Washington scored 2 touchdowns in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And him and Jamison Crowder definitely had a thing.
Right.
I mean, there was a connection there. One of the takeaways from this, I know in the Superdome or in the Dome in Detroit, Golden Tate might actually have turned a corner or a page in Detroit.
Are you softening on Golden Tate a little bit?
6 catches for 93 yards. I'm not on board, but I think the coverage is starting to shift to Marvin Jones.
Right.
So
we
Golden,
talked about that a little
yeah,
bit
we did
last
talk
week.
About that. So Golden Tate is going to have a little bit of favorable coverage. And I think he exploited that. He led the team in targets by a wide margin. 12 targets, 6 catches, 93 yards. Didn't get into the end zone. Their touchdown guy is Anquan Boldin. Scored in back-to-back games now. But it's going to be tough moving forward, especially from a fantasy perspective, daily, more than a year long, especially because it's kind of a coin flip from Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, who's going to get these yards. They both finished at 94 and 93, no touchdowns for either, but one... that's not going to be the case moving forward.
Yeah, so today whenever I was going through all the games, I was just looking over my sheet. And I don't know if any of you really know a lot about how you really scout a specific player, but a lot of times you just watch every play and you write something down about the play, like a minus sign or a check mark, meaning like he did his job, mm-hmm. or like a plus, or like a plus plus, like whatever. And I looked down and I noticed that I had written 6 plus pluses for Stafford. So he made 6 like legitimate standout highlight throws throughout the game, and I don't do that very often. Whenever I'm scouting a player, so I thought maybe his numbers would be a little more just based on the scouting that I'd done, but I really think he's starting to figure out the NFL game a little bit. He's always been a really good quarterback, but I think he's starting to make that step.
Mm-hmm.
Now the team isn't good enough around him to really like let him go win championships right now, but maybe in the future. The Redskins are a pretender, right?
They're definitely a pretender. There's no question in my mind that they're a pretender. This game was bad. This was bad football.
Yes.
There's a lot of it over the weekend. There's been a lot of it this season. I think that's why the ratings are down. This was bad football, and Washington is lucky that they were even able to get within three.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's move on to the Raiders 33-16 over the Jags.
Bortles, what?
I don't know.
We're just doing this every game. There's sighs and grunts and just...
Yes. Bortles was my guy... Jacksonville was my team before the season started that I was like, this might be your surprise come out of nowhere. They got all these high draft picks, and Dante Fowler's coming back from injury.
Allen Robinson.
They pick up Miles Jack.
And Marquise Lee and Chris Ivory. And
yeah, I thought that offense was going to be good. Julius Thomas. Bortles has been garbage.
2-4.
Here's my little analogy that we've been – something we've really been on, the steps that it takes as you go from being a bottom feeder to a contending team,
mm-hmm.
and there are steps you have to take. The Raiders, they're at the step where they are beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
Exactly.
That's where they are right now. Now they need to learn how to beat teams that they're not supposed to beat and win the big games, like the game we get last week against Kansas City, which we talked about. The Jaguars are a season behind the Raiders. That's what I see right now. They're a good team. You can tell that they're not an awful football team like, you know, the Browns and some of these other teams. They're not god awful, but they're behind the Raiders in terms of that beating who you're supposed to beat or being competitive in games you're supposed to be competitive in. They're a season behind.
Maybe even a season and a half.
Maybe a season and a half. Yeah, sure.
This is another game that I watched quite a bit of. I had. As much as I could, they turned it up at shenanigans. I had some Allen Robinson because I thought, like a lot of fantasy players thought, that this might be the week. At some point, Allen Robinson is going to break out for 90 yards and two touchdowns. At some point, that's going to happen.
At some point, right.
Jags looked bad. They looked real bad in this game. Blake Bortles, 23 for 43. The yards were there, but I mean, when you can't complete almost half of your passes, 246 and a touchdown with two picks. One bright spot, I guess, Chris Ivory, 5 carries, 48 yards. I think they need to run the football more. I really do. The run sets up the pass.
Yeah.
And Allen Robinson, 2 catches for 9 yards.
That had to hurt you,
man.
That had to hurt you.
I didn't have a lot of them. My guy was A.J. Green, and he got his yards, but just 2 catches for 9 yards. Marquise Lee moving forward is an excellent daily option. He's, I believe... He was 3,100 over the weekend. He's going to be more, but 7 catches for 107 yards. He plays in the Thursday game.
He seems to be getting starting to get a little more usage, and I don't really know what the reasoning behind that is. Unless teams are trying to take away both the outside receivers and it's just giving him a lot of work in the slot, I'd be careful picking him up for Thursday. We've already talked about these Thursday night games are not. They're just bad.
Well,
it's
not
bad football.
Not for Thursday, but for Monday through. I've got him in all my Monday Thursdays. The way DraftKings works is, so you got Sunday Monday, which means Sunday night Monday night, and
right.
then you got Monday Thursday, which means Monday night Thursday night. So they're 2 game slates basically.
Okay.
So he's one of the guys, one of the wide receivers. I mean, my choices were, I mean, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. And then you got Tennessee's who.
Oh, okay, yeah, Marquise Lee might be the best.
And then you got Denver and Houston.
Options.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the best, but I think Marquise Lee probably 60 yards, maybe gets into the end zone.
Right.
I expect a little bit of a bounce back for Jacksonville, but Tennessee's got a pretty decent defense, and they like to sack quarterbacks. That's going to be a very bad game.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Oakland's 5-2.
Yeah, Oakland's 5-2. Like I said, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
And
that's one of those you finish 9-7 or 10-6 because you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You're still going to lose to the elite teams. You make the playoffs. You lose in the first round, and then you go back to the drawing not back to the drawing board, but you go start working on that craft and come back the next year, and you've advanced in the culture of learning how to win and stuff like that. It's something we've really talked about a lot on this show.
Something I always say at the poker table especially is you trust the process. It's a grind. It's a climb. And I think Oakland is progressing.
Yeah, they're climbing.
The Raiders, sorry. Las Vegas is the team formerly known as Oakland. Sorry, Oakland. They're progressing, and they're going to be in the playoffs. They're 5-2 right now.
Yeah, yeah.
4-0 away.
Yeah, they're very very likely to make the playoffs at this point.
Latavius Murray back as well.
Yep, and he played pretty well.
Yeah, 18 carries, well. 59 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jacksonville took away Amari Cooper, so Michael Crabtree is the guy, 8 for 96 and a touchdown.
There you go. All right, so let's move on to one of the first upsets of the day, Dolphins 29-25 over the Bills.
I am on board.
Just when we thought Buffalo was good.
I am on board.
You're on board the Jay Ajayi train?
I love the guy. Always have, and I just didn't think he had it yet. I think the O-line has a lot to do with it, but this is, he has made history, folks. If you are unaware, Jay Ajayi, back-to-back games of 200 yards plus, 28 carries. The usage is there.
Yep.
They are trusting him.
Yep.
And he just, look at the box scores from Boise.
Yep.
He did this all throughout his college career.
Yes, he did.
He was an absolute monster, 214 and a touchdown. Let's see who they have this week, because he's the fourth running back to ever go back-to-back 200-yard games.
And the other three are, like, ridiculous. Dickerson. And O.J. Simpson and somebody else. Yeah, insane.
Yeah, they have the Jets. They have a week off, and then they have the Jets. I don't know.
Somebody ripped the Jets defense up the – was it Spencer Ware?
Spencer Ware got into it.
I think Spencer Ware ripped the Jets to pieces. So you can see that out of Jay Ajayi. I'm not
Arian
sure.
Arian Foster has retired.
I was about to say that. Arian Foster retired today, so he is done.
He is the guy. Get him. He's not available anymore, but I can't wait to see what Jay Ajayi can do as the guy, and he is now 100% the guy. Expect 25 to 30 carries moving forward, especially when Ryan Tannehill can't really throw very well as an NFL quarterback. He's struggling mightily, and now that they have an offensive threat behind center in that run game, or behind in the backfield, rather, Jay Ajayi, I can't wait to see what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You daily fantasy players all over Jay Ajayi. The yearly fantasy players, you should probably be all over them. For you guys who are in dynasty leagues, who are looking, if you're thinking about trading big assets to acquire this guy, there's something you should know about him. He has a degenerative knee condition. That's why he dropped in the draft. That's why Ronald Leary dropped in the draft. That's why Miles Jack dropped in the draft. All of these guys can play. They have no pain. Everything's fine. But it's a situation that the doctors know at some point. They don't know when. It could be when they're 50, but it could be when they're 28.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, that knee may just be done, and once it does, it'll be bone on bone, and he will not be able to play.
No.
He will not be able to play.
That will be it.
So
it's going to be very sad.
Factor that in if you're trying to trade for give up a lot of assets to get this guy on your team for the dynasty-style fantasy leagues.
I can't wait to see what this guy can do, and hopefully he has a long and prosperous career in the NFL. On the opposite side of the football, why in the hell would you rush LeSean McCoy back? You knew he wasn't 100%.
Yep.
You knew the hamstring was not there, and you knew this was going to happen. Just let Mike Gillisley play. I
spoken like somebody who had some Mike Gillisley this
Of course
weekend.
Not. No. I didn't have any part of it. I didn't have any part of it, and I had less. I was all over the Jacques Rogers train. I was all in on Rogers. But why? I just don't understand why you would rush LeSean back when we all saw him go down last weekend. I didn't think he was fit to come back in that game, and he comes back. Of course he's not going to play this game, right? No, they're going to rush him back, or not rush him back, but let him play.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was one of the ones on the last episode. I talked about he was going to be out for a couple of weeks. I was a week early on that, but he's definitely going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
eight carries for 11 yards. What is the upside of playing LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, there is no upside. People don't understand hamstring injuries, and it trips me out how you'll see NFL teams do this. They'll go through waves where they'll have like one player who has a hamstring injury 1 week, and then he just kind of gets over it, and he just continues to play, and it's not a big deal. And so then they want to rush back every hamstring injury, and they'll have this rash of injuries, and they won't go away. And then they'll swing it the other way where somebody will get a hamstring injury, and they won't let the guy come back for 6-8 weeks. You know, and you're like, good God, how long does a tight hamstring keep somebody out of a game? And they keep ebbing and flowing back and forth on that. And it's like sometimes people don't realize, like, everybody's different. The hamstrings heal differently, and you have to really trust the player to know what they're capable of doing.
Well, you want to talk about trusting the player. Let's not look ahead of who this guy is. LeSean McCoy, it's not like he hasn't had injury problems in the past.
Yeah.
He was. I'm looking for a word here, but he was plagued by injury problems when he was with Philadelphia.
Right.
And now, that was just dumb. That was stupid. Buffalo's going to suffer for it.
Yep.
They're 4-3 now.
Is Miami a team to watch now? They beat Pittsburgh and Buffalo, two of the better teams. I mean, in the last episode, we were talking about Buffalo as potentially the second-best team in the AFC, not with, you know, Pittsburgh without Ben Roethlisberger. And
Miami's a team that I would like to like.
Tannehill
is a quarterback I would like to like. They have targets. Jarvis Landry, Devontae
Parker,
and now Kenny Stills is emerging. Five catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. That's back-to-back games that he's had, or I want to say back-to-back. It's either back-to-back or split games that he's had very solid production in the passing game. And now with Jay Ajayi emerging as that number one back, he's going to have all the usage. I think Miami's a team that's dangerous moving forward.
A little bit dangerous moving forward?
A little bit. They're definitely somebody to watch out for. Uh-huh. On the opposite side, I think Buffalo has a lot of problems now that you lost LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, yeah, that creates definitely creates problems with him. He's a big part of their offense. Let's move on to the other big upset of the week. This is the one that I called on the lost episode. Chargers 33, Falcons 30.
He did call it.
I can smell a team that has pride. Like, I can see it a mile away. I don't know why. That's some stupid little skill that I have. But this Chargers team, they're not going to quit. They're not going to quit. And I don't doubt Phillip Rivers. I have a lot of faith in Phillip Rivers and what he can do at quarterback. That being said, Mike McCoy, what the hell are you doing? Not Mike McCoy. Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn. Because I'm used to harping on McCoy. But Dan Quinn. Going for it on your own 45 in overtime, that was stupid.
Out of your mind.
You're basically handing the other team the win. Here you go. You can win.
That's that.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
Not to mention when you look at, Lambeau. Josh Lambeau. Yeah, he's just perfect. 4 for 4. I mean, the last one was the winner, but you're looking at a kicker who is very much formidable, if not one of the better kickers in the league, and you're just going to hand San Diego a team that can and will move the football in short chunks and has all game the football at midfield. Are you out of your...
Yeah, it was stupid.
Almost had the first F-bomb on the two-point conversion.
Yeah. Cost them the game. No question about it. Atlanta's going to be fine. That offense is really good. The defense is good enough. They're going to be fine. They're going to win their division more than likely. But that was really stupid.
You want to know how many field goals Josh Lambeau's missed this year?
None.
One.
Oh, he missed one.
One from 50-plus.
From 50-plus, yeah. The killer's dude's got a leg. It's crazy, crazy good leg. We'll remind people the Falcons last year started out, what was it, 5-0 or 6-0 or something?
Stop. Oh, okay. Sorry.
And then went into a tailspin and didn't even make the playoffs. So, that's something to really keep in mind if you're all over the Falcons right now. And then the other thing, Tyrell Williams, we've been talking about him. He finally kind of emerged a little bit in this game. And I don't really, have any good reasons for that because I haven't watched a lot of film yet. But
I really think he's the guy moving forward in that passing game. 7 catches for 140. This isn't chasing points. 10 targets. He's reliable, and I think Rivers has finally found the guy that he has chosen to replace Keenan Allen, and I mean, that's just that. When it comes down to Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Lemon, or Travis Benjamin, however, I will say this, Antonio Gates is getting more looks, and Hunter Henry was finally held to only a one catch game, but Antonio Gates is finally getting more looks in the passing game moving forward. He had 10 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Gordon. We were wondering where the points were going to come from. The answer is Melvin
Gordon. That 4th-and-1 conversion was a thing of beauty. Did you see it?
The pass?
No. They gave it to Melvin Gordon straight up the middle, and he. I mean, he got stuffed in the backfield by Deion Jones
and just kept trucking.
Bounced off of him. Went behind, basically, because it was off to the right. Mm-hmm. He went behind the offensive line in reverse field over to the left and busted off about 12 yards or so on a 4th-and-1. They had to have it. It was 4th-and-ball game. Really, really good play by him. Yeah, that's all I got on that game. Tyrell Williams.
Coleman went to the locker room, by the way. I don't
know. Yeah, Tevin Coleman went down again. Yeah. This guy, man, he has those big games, and you're like, God, I want all the action on this guy, and then it just goes away.
Yeah, he's inconsistent.
All right, we're going to move on to the Patriots, 27-16 over the Steelers.
God, this was I watched it. I watched all of it. I had a lot of Patriots in this game. I know Bill Belichick doesn't give a damn about your fantasy teams.
No, he doesn't.
Understandably so. This is boring football. This is not good for ratings. He doesn't care. The Patriots just keep winning. This was not entertaining. This was not.
I thought it was a pretty good football game.
For New England, it was. I mean, it was just dump offs to Edelman.
Yeah.
Blunt.
Right.
Edelman. Gronk, maybe. Bill Belichick, I am upset. Bill Belichick knows how to win football games.
He does. He does. This was the first Patriots game this season where Jacoby Brissett wasn't the quarterback that I thought New England looked beatable.
They did look beatable.
They looked beatable.
And Landry Jones had a little bit of a connection with Antonio Brown. I don't want to say that very much out loud because I'm looking at Antonio Brown moving forward maybe as a contrarian play. You know how I guess his percentage in the Millionaire Maker. 9,300, Antonio Brown. What was his percentage in the Millionaire Maker?
Last week?
Against New England.
40.
Against New England?
Yeah. Well, wait, am I way overshooting it?
1%? 1.
Nobody started that guy?
1. You're telling me I can get the greatest receiver in the league, and he is. You're not going to talk to me about A.J. Green or Julio Jones when Roethlisberger is healthy or when he has somebody to throw to. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the National Football League.
Yes.
And he is at 1%.
Yes.
Stunned. Shocking.
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 Well, I mean, you planning on picking him up next week or what?
I'm definitely giving it some thought.
Giving it some thought. Yeah, Landry Jones looked pretty good. I mean, he didn't look great.
He didn't look bad. I mean, he didn't look terrible.
He did
it's not
right.
Like he went out and there was a play tonight that Brock Osweiler cocked his arm back, lost the ball and just kind of, and they ruled it a fumble. Did you see it? You know what I'm talking about? He didn't do that.
Mm-mm.
He did not do that.
Yeah, well, no, I think on Sunday, Landry Jones and those Steelers beat 20 NFL teams.
Yeah, I think so too.
Maybe 25.
Maybe more.
Maybe 25.
Maybe almost all teams not listed as the Patriots, Cowboys, or Chiefs. Le'Veon Bell, 81 yards. Antonio Brown found a way to get 106. He is matchup proof. Matchup proof. They are going to get him the football. Le'Veon Bell, 68 yards in the passing game. Darius Hayward Bay, he had a touchdown. Colby Hamilton got involved.
If I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I'm okay with Landry Jones as my backup. I've been a little concerned before that because you don't know what you got with the
kid. You don't know what you got.
But then he comes in there, he plays well. I'd be okay with it. As a Dallas fan, I'm now going, okay, that game that I was kind of almost chalking up as a win, if Ben doesn't play, it's back in contest again.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit. So, yeah, I'd be real happy if I was a Pittsburgh fan. Let's see, what else do I got on my
It's going to be a lot of fun watching that Dallas secondary take on Antonio Brown and try to contain Le'Veon Bell. And it's just going to be, from just a pure football standpoint, Landry Jones could start for probably a handful of NFL teams
now.
The Jets would welcome Landry Jones in with open arms. I think he's probably, I was going to say Tannehill. He might not be better than Tannehill. The Browns, even though I love Kevin Hogan, I can't wait to see what his ownership is this week. We'll get to that hopefully here in a second. Landry Jones is formidable at worst, and he's probably going to throw over 300 yards a couple times.
Yeah, he's pretty good. If I'm Cleveland or New York or some of these other teams, I'm calling and trying to
sneaky stack.
Trying to talk about a little trade.
Sneaky stack.
Yeah, a little bit sneaky.
Landry Antonio.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. All right, the last game I got is the NFL presented to you by NyQuil, SleepDM, and Somanex.
We're not going to talk about Cleveland at all?
No.
I mean, not even a little bit?
No, I told you, I'm paring this stuff down. We're not talking about crap that doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No.
A.J. Green was one of the best receivers of the week, and Kevin Hogan. We talk about Kevin Hogan for 30 seconds. If you miss the Cleveland game, Kevin Hogan comes in after Kessler
goes down. Hold on. You're just going to bypass my funny line.
No. I love the line.
Like, I've been preparing that line all day.
It was. It was presented by NyQuil or
NyQuil, SleepDM, and Somanex presents the NFL game of the week.
Yeah.
Seahawks 6, Cards 6.
It was 3-3 going into overtime. It was 3-0 at halftime. And I left. I swear. I was watching The Walking Dead. Phenomenal premiere.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to put some Walking
phenomenal
Dead.
Phenomenal premiere.
Yeah.
And just flipping back occasionally, there was no way I was going to watch this football game. I thought it was going to be pretty decent, and then I saw a 3-0 score at halftime. What in the hell is going on? Then I saw a 3-0 score in the fourth quarter. You've got what in the... And then, of course, as luck or the football gods or whoever you would, Pete Carroll would have it, they equalize. As we say in soccer, we'll go to overtime 3-3.
Yeah.
Oh, is this happening? This
awful,
is really happening. So Arizona
football.
Kicks field goal, Chan Cat 6-6, because, you know, Chan Cat can actually kick field goals.
Yeah.
He really can, I promise you.
Yeah.
So can Steven Hauschka, and he'll tie it up 6-6. So this is a dog shit football game. This is terrible. This isn't entertaining in the absolute very least. However, David Johnson is matchup proof, apparently.
Yep.
And then I see, I believe, Michael Floyd takes it to the four. Okay, so Chancat's going to kick a field goal. Arizona's going to win. We're 6 minutes left in overtime. Arizona's going to win. I don't even watch. I'm out the door. I'm out the door going to a game or wherever I went. And I swear to God, I go into work today, into Chili's, and I'm looking up at the TV, and I watch Chancat miss the field goal. I'm like, you have got to be what in the hell? So they tied? Haven't got to the rest of the highlight.
Right.
Low light. None of this was highlight. So they tied, really? 6 minutes left? 3 minutes left? However many time left? There's no way Seattle could... Oh, Jimmy Graham's going to catch the ball and truck down to about the... Seattle wins. So Stephen Houch, because there's no way... What in the heck? And then you see Pete Carroll's reaction.
It's like, what is going on here?
What is happening?
Oh, man. I don't want to talk a lot about that game. I just want to point out that the Seattle's offense looks completely different when Russell Wilson can't run the football, when he's got the ankle and knee or whatever's going on with him. I don't know at all. But, that was absolutely awful. Okay. You have 30 seconds to talk about Chris Hogan. Go.
Kevin Hogan.
That's what I said.
We will not disparage this young man's name. I don't know where I know where he came from. Look, he's out of Stanford. He likes to run. He likes to run a lot, man. He's fast. He's speedy. I did not know Cleveland had him. I didn't know they had him until I watched him run. And I look up, and I'm like, there's no way in hell that's Cody Kessler. There's no way that's Cody Kessler, and there's definitely no way that's Charlie Whitehurst. So I'll tell you who that looks like. I know exactly who that looks like, but I don't think he's on that football team. That looks like Kevin Hogan out of Stanford, and it sure was. He threw for 100 yards and two picks. He needs work in the passing game. However, seven carries for 104 yards. He ran a 28-yard long and a touchdown. I love this guy.
It's the longest run in Cleveland Browns history for a quarterback.
This guy's a beast, man. I'm telling you, drafted in the fifth round. He's out of Stanford. It was by Kansas City, and somehow he made his way to Cleveland. I don't know how. I really don't. But I was watching him run. I was like, I swear to God, that looks like Kevin Hogan, and sure enough.
That's funny. Well, that's what they got going forward, it looks like, because it looks like Kessler's going to miss a little bit of time.
Yeah, Kessler is going to miss a little bit of time. I'll tell you who else is going to miss a little bit of time. It looked painful, man. It looked painful, and I watched The Walking Dead premiere last night. Brian Hoyer. Sorry, buddy. That one hurt. That one hurt me watching it.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Broken arm.
Yeah, don't want to talk about that. That's ugly. All right.
Zach Miller.
He's not going to play.
He might play quarterback.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just
Okay.
It's okay. It's not going to happen.
AJ Green, absolute monster. 8 catches, 169 yards, and a touchdown. And that Hail Mary that he caught was just brilliant.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Jeremy Hill as well. Could have got him at 4,000 on DraftKings. And I should have listened to Adam Levitan. I really should have. He talked him up all Sunday morning. 9 carries for 168 yards.
Yeah.
And a touchdown.
Nine carries for
168 yards.
So,
yeah,
at least one long win. Okay.
Yeah, Gio, 17 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. What that means to me is the Jets play Cleveland this week, and like Heath said, who was supposed to be on the podcast last week, hopefully we'll have him on in the future maybe. Got to get those audio problems fixed.
Yeah.
Matt Forte might be all in on Matt Forte this week.
Yeah,
Cleveland's.
Think about this. Dallas gets Philadelphia Sunday night.
Oh,
and then Cleveland the week after.
Cleveland Zeke's going to run for 300 yards. 300 yards.
Every time I look at that game, I'm like, I just see yards just racking up. Just like money signs in Zeke's eyes. All right, guys, that's how we're going to finish up on the games. We're going to move on to the scouting tip of the week. My scouting tip of the week is...
Scouting tip of the week.
My scouting tip of the week is don't tie your ego to your evaluations. I see people do this all the time. It's one of the very, very first things they teach you when you start getting into scouting. You go to the internships and all that stuff. So that's... You're evaluating a player in, you know, training camp or whatever, and you're like, man, he's awful. He's just awful. I can't believe how bad he is or whatever. And then over the course of training camp or a season or 2 seasons or 3 seasons, whatever, he kind of morphs into a better player. But because your original assessment of him was he was bad, you can't let go of that, and so you bring up every excuse why he's still bad instead of just saying, yeah, I was wrong.
And saying that you're wrong, it's a very similar in fantasy and just sports betting, and you've got to separate your head from your heart.
Yeah.
You have to, in whatever avenue it is.
Right. I call it separating your ego from... Yeah. Because people want to attach their ego to their evaluation, as if their evaluation is wrong, it somehow makes them less of a person. When the reality is, everybody who's ever made an evaluation about an NFL player, or numerous NFL players, has been wrong. Like, that, the people who get paid lots of money to do this are wrong consistently.
Yeah, all the time.
So you're not any better than those people. So the big thing on that is just whenever you make an evaluation of a player, if he ends up, you know, you say he's really good and then he ends up being garbage, don't sit there and go, oh, well, he never played on a good team and he, you know, never, blah, blah, blah. You know, at some point you got to be like, yeah, he was bad. He just he couldn't get it done.
Or opposite.
Yeah, it goes both ways. It doesn't matter. Don't tie your ego. Don't make it like if you're wrong, it somehow makes you less of a person. That's not how it works. That's the scouting tip of the week. All right, so we're going to move on to some of the things that are going along in the NFL right now. The NFL has a ratings problem, man.
A big one. A big
The NFL has a ratings problem. Their ratings are down 10%. And when you think about it, was that growth is usually like 1 or 2%. So that's like losing 5 to 10 years of ratings growth in one season. I have some theories on what's going on there. You want to give me some theories on what you think?
I don't know about theories, but it was just so disheartening. I like an atmosphere. I don't like dumb, ignorant fans, but I like an atmosphere. And I walked into Shenanigans, the pub, the bar that I, first of all, love those guys. But I walked in there on Sunday to watch with my buddy Brian, as we always do. There was no one there. I mean, no one there. That place was a graveyard. And I know there weren't that great of games. I know the Patriots played later. The Steelers played later. The Cowboys were off.
The Cowboys being off, we're in Texas, dude.
Yeah.
The Cowboys being off, that's why that happened.
I'm sure.
That's why.
But there's no. The Sundays are made for football.
Well, I agree with you, but I think that what you're doing is a little bit of a non sequitur there, because last year when the Cowboys had their bye week,
sure
it was dead at Shenanigans. We're talking about why are we looking at a ratings decline right now.
Well, I know what you're going to say, and I agree.
You know what I'm going to say? Because I got like five reasons.
Well, we're going to play Family Feud then. Top three at five answers on the board. Looking for it? No. Although I do like Family Feud. Not my favorite game show. I do like Family Feud, though.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I'm going to go with the... Let's start out referees.
Referees is on my list.
Start out referees. If that's not number one, it's probably number two. I guess this kind of goes with it. You've got to let these players have fun. It's fun to score touchdowns.
Yes, it's fun to celebrate. Yes.
Celebrate sacks. You don't need to do the throat slashing and the violent gestures, but this is a fun game. Soccer
yes.
is a fun game. That when you score a goal, which is very similar to scoring a touchdown, people go nuts.
But yeah, they go bonkers.
Absolutely.
The stupid rules. You can't go to the ground. You can't celebrate with a teammate, even though it's the ultimate team sport. There's not another sport on earth that requires the team as much as football does. But not just them taking the fun out of the game, also the wildly inconsistent way they're calling penalties.
Right, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, the Julio Jones pass interference from this weekend was just, not this weekend, the
two
week
weeks
before,
ago.
Was just awful. I mean, that was clear pass interference. You're starting to see this now. Defensive backs have learned you can just hold one arm,
yep,
and they don't call it.
They don't call roughing the kicker at all anymore either. That happened earlier in the mm-hmm. Houston game. I mean, the punter just got absolutely destroyed. No flag. It's about as inconsistent as it gets. They have to change that. I think another reason might be that it's really become a chess game. What you're seeing is the standard casual fan, in my opinion, that doesn't progress, that's just here, and they're watching, and they're ball following, and this, that, and the other. And then you've got other people like us.
Yeah.
Where we love this. We absolutely live for it.
We're
dissecting, and we're into every play, and everything matters, especially when you play Daily Fantasy. But even past that, it's... Knowing the game is going to make you a better fan and a more passionate fan, and I think we need more of that. We need more education as a whole in the football world.
There's a lot of that out there right now. It's becoming more and more of a thing. These sites that are breaking down film and showing and helping fans become better fans, and I think there is a little.
There's
bit
never
of a
been more of it.
Right,
2016.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a renaissance going on with what you're talking about. I'm not sure that that's really affecting ratings. One of the things that's definitely affecting ratings is the Monday night matchups have been just terrible, and that's a product of this archaic system where they release the schedule before the year starts, which is fine. You do that anyways, but they're we already know who's going to play on Monday night of week two, and you might get 2-0-1 teams. But we already know who's going to play on Monday night of week three, and you might get 2-0-3 teams.
Look, if you're going to have Tennessee and Jacksonville play on Thursday night, you just don't have a Thursday
night
football.
Yeah, don't have a Thursday night
just
football.
Don't have
Nobody's going to watch that football game.
I'm not going to watch it.
You make the argument, and you're right, that they're doing this for ratings, the making them play on Thursday night, which gives you awful football. I'm telling you right now, the game between Tennessee and Jacksonville will get more ratings on Sunday than it will on Thursday night. Now, if you want to put New England and Pittsburgh on Thursday night,
I'm watching.
You're still going to get bad football, but at least people are going to watch it.
I'm watching that game.
At least people are going to watch it. So they have got to figure out what the primetime thing.
Don't have Thursday night football.
Well, okay, I mean, I agree with that, but the Sunday and Monday night matchups have not been good. There's been a couple of decent games.
Yeah, I know.
But the matchups themselves are bad, and I understand that a lot of people don't know this, but basically they give all of the matchups to for the week to the networks, okay? Fox gets all the NFC versus NFC games.
Mm-hmm.
CBS gets all the AFC versus AFC games, and then the ones that are mix and match, they like pick and fight over. And then the first pick, though, is NBC. They get to choose a Monday Night Football game. That's the first pick. And then ESPN gets a Sunday, or other way
Sunday
around.
Sunday night, Monday.
Other way around. ESPN gets their pick, and then all the other ones go in there, and then, you know, they start doing the thing where they have the game of the week, Fox does, and so there's nothing else really being shown nationally except for really localized games. That system is not working. We're getting awful, awful nighttime matchups. You have the referee situation that's really bad, and then you have this latest CBA that the players pushed on the owners with no freaking practice. Nobody can even look badly at anybody in practice. If you give them a funny look, it's a penalty, and the coach gets fined, and the team gets fined, and lose draft picks, and all that stuff. And you're getting bad football still this far into the season. Usually by now it's kind of worked itself out. About weeks, 3 weeks, it's still bad. There's only a few teams that have figured it out, and if you had to put me on a lie detector test, I'd say probably the ones that have figured out the most are the ones who skirted the rules the most in training camp.
Yeah.
It's gotten really bad. NFL has a big, big-time ratings problem. I don't know what exactly they do to fix it. The concussions, I think, also adds to it a little bit. I don't want to get political, but I think the Kaepernick situation adds to it just a little bit.
I doubt very seriously
that a lot of people are not watching because of it, but I think there are a few.
There's a handful.
There's a handful, and then I think there's a handful that watch the concussion movie, and they're upset with the violent nature of the game and how much it's causing concussions and all that stuff. So it's kind of crazy.
Don't have Thursday night football. Play two Monday night games if you have to. I'm all on board on two Monday night games. I love that idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. Back to back, not at the same time. Why would you do it at the same time? I can only watch one at a time.
You wouldn't do it two at a time.
Two Monday night games.
You gotta stay up late, man. I'm on the morning show, bro. I gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know. I gotta wake up 6 o'clock for English Premier League on Saturday. We all make sacrifices. NFL.
Did you just say that sentence?
Absolutely.
God, get out of the studio.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I'm
so the last
my money.
The last little topic I want to get on is. And it goes back to the refereeing and the inconsistency of refereeing is, what is a catch?
I guess that's the question now, isn't it?
I have keyed into something that I think if they just added a little one sentence to the rule as it's written.
Well, I'll tell you what a catch is, Bryce, as far as Chris Collinsworth is concerned. It's when you have control of the football and you make a football movement, whatever the hell that means, and is defined in a dictionary nowhere. However, when you do have control of the football and it's popped out immediately, I think that's going to be an incompletion, but you have to make that football move. That's what solidifies a catch, and that's about as vague as a descriptive term as you could possibly get. I hate it. God,
I do, too.
I hate it. Phil Simms just as bad, but that's what a catch is. You have to make a foot. You have to have what is it? One step at a football movement or something.
I'm speaking specifically about the catches that go to the ground.
Yeah, I knew.
Okay,
you were.
So let's go back to the Dez Bryant situation. Also, just to go back to the previous topic just a little bit, the only Super Bowl since 1992 that I have not watched is the Seahawks. The Patriots won.
Mm-hmm.
After the Dez Bryant catch no catch thing, it wasn't a boycott. It wasn't a boycott. I wasn't like, I'm not watching because of that. I was just so disenfranchised with the whole thing. I didn't even want to watch, and so I didn't watch any of the rest of the playoffs on that. The Dez Bryant catch,
by the way, That's a catch.
That, I mean, it, to me, it's a catch, but I understand somebody who wouldn't say, who say it's not a catch. So here's the thing. Against who Dallas play last, just totally blinked on it.
That would be Green Bay.
Green Bay. Against Green Bay,
yeah,
in the first quarter.
Very similar situation.
Dak rolls to the right, throws the ball to Beasley. Beasley catches the ball, takes three steps while simultaneously falling, falls to the ground, lunges his yeah. lunges out, reaches the ball over the goal line. It's called a touchdown. The ball, when he hits the ground, the ball pops out. Mm-hmm. There's no difference between
None.
That and what happened to Dez Bryant.
None.
Dez Bryant caught the ball, took three steps while falling, lunged out, hit the ball when you know the ball popped out when he hit the ground. Here is the one difference. And if you go back and you look at the Megatron catches that weren't called catches. You can look at the, there's a New York Giants and a San Francisco 49ers. I can't remember the names of the players, but basically catch passes on the run and then take a couple steps and get hit and the ball pops out when they hit the ground. There's one difference, and this is what needs to be added to the rule. If you leave your feet in the process of trying to make a catch, then you have to control it all the way through the process of going to the ground, blah, blah, all whatever. Dez Bryant jumped. Megatron jumped. All three of
Cole
his catches
Beasley.
That got called back. Cole Beasley didn't jump. He just turned around and caught the ball. The New York Giants, it was just a slant. He just caught it and then took three steps, and somebody tripped him, and he fell, and the ball hit the ground, and it rolled out, and they called it a catch. I don't know why the referees can't seem to figure out the difference between taking three steps after you've landed a jump and taking three steps, you know, while running. But there you go. That's what needs to be added to it. If you leave your feet in the process of trying to catch the ball, then you have to maintain control of the ball all the way through the process. And the other thing I'll say about that is that whole rule and the Dez Bryant thing and everything has gotten me so freaking paranoid about that. Like, a receiver will jump up and catch a ball and then land on the ground and then get up and walk around for 3 minutes and hand the ball to the referee. And I'm like, oh, God, they might call that not a catch.
They might call that not a catch. I get so nervous
every time they do anything with the ball.
I mean, you want to talk about getting nervous. That was when I was all in on Cole Beasley at, like, 3,200. And that was the first touchdown. And I was... Exactly my reaction. Oh, my God. Oh, you better not. Oh, swear to God. Oh,
I almost feel like the receiver has... I almost feel like the receiver has to catch the ball, go to the ground, keep it, and then hold it the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And if he holds it the rest of the game, then it's a
then
catch.
It's a catch.
Then it's a catch.
Then it's a catch. It is the two-point conversion, by the way. Bryson Daniels has the reset, footballogy.com, and study of all things football. That is fantastic. We're on iTunes and Google Play. Tell your friends. Tell your friends that it's messages. Facebook as well, the two-point conversion, and Twitter, all that. Follow us on social media. Hopefully we'll have a YouTube channel up shortly. And, that's fantastic.
I am going to put a YouTube channel up, and
it just seems like the natural progression for me.
There's not a lot of
sports content
on YouTube. I've been looking into that, but I think, you know, if we get 400 followers on YouTube, then that's 400 people who listen to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Or the way around.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
So I'm working on a YouTube. I'm also thinking about maybe getting like our friend Jordan here to just record himself and do just like. Anything he sees that's news about the Steelers.
Steel Curtain Corner or something, yeah.
Yeah, anything that he sees that's news about the Steelers, he just records it. He sends it to me. I upload it to YouTube. Bam, we have a video that's just Jordan sitting in front of his I'll do Cowboys news, and you can pick a team and do that. And we got
Daily Fantasy, something.
Yeah,
just
like little
absolutely.
Brief, just bam,
absolutely.
Record myself and upload it to me.
This could expand past two episodes a week.
Exactly.
All there is to it.
Little
five-minute, exactly.
Like, you know, I saw this happen today. I'm telling you right now, the Steelers are not going to trade Landry Jones. That's garbage. He's the best backup in the league right now. What, you know, something like that.
Yeah, like Tony Romo's not going to play this year.
Yeah.
Like
you could lie
absolutely.
Like that.
Got to give a shout out to our boy Jordan Painter as well. He's in the studio every single week.
Just hanging out with us.
Yeah, just fantastic. Love the support. And yeah, so what else you got?
I want to, because Simo has done so much for us, he's helped us out, he's helped promote our show
absolutely.
And everything. If you're a wrestling guy, he's doing a new podcast, it's called The Heel Turn.
Jordan
is involved in it as well. You know, I haven't listened to it, but I know both those guys are really entertaining and they're knowledgeable.
Oh, they know their stuff. They definitely
Simo
know their
in particular
I'm
crazy.
More, that it's all he...
yes.
He listens
he
to
knows
WWE.
Everything about everything when it comes to wrestling. So if you're into that, check it out. You can find it on iTunes and Google Play and all that stuff. The Heel Turn is the name of that. Don't forget to look us up on Facebook, 2-Point Conversion, the number 2. Us on iTunes and Google Play as well. So
you're going to talk some noise, but you can find me on Snapchat as well, AFC_Angelo on... DraftKings as well, FC Full America as well. FC
is that a soccer thing?
Yeah, FC_Full America on Roto Grinders, AFC Angelo, and Snapchat, AFC_Angelo.
What?
What? That's just my name.
You're just disappointing.
I don't care.
You disappoint me every time you talk about that other sport that's, they play over there that's irrelevant and stupid.
Yeah, the one you use your feet to kick the ball. Yeah, yeah. That one.
Hey. I like hand egg. It's my favorite.
Hand egg, yeah. I love that. I want a shirt so bad. Now, as much shade as I throw, oh, God, I love this game. Yeah. I love this game,
yeah,
and
too.
I always have.
All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. So, for Daniels,
give me a
Jordan. Oh.
Give me
oh.
a minute.
Because it was last. Oh.
You got something. It's
I'm
on
sorry.
You.
It's what?
Is it eating at you? Something you got
to
say?
I'm sorry, Bryce. You're going to have to speak up. I didn't quite catch that. Oh, my God, was it incredible last night.
You're talking Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. My. It sets up the season for season 7. It was, just like I said, it was awful and brilliant and just gruesome, gratuitous, and just so many words. I shed a couple of tears. It was very emotional. It was very emotional, and I honestly didn't know if they were going to be able to show it and what they did on AMC and TV. I think they broke new ground. For content-wise, what you can show, I watched two people get their heads bashed in with a baseball bat covered, wrapped in barbed wire from Negan. I'm not exactly going to tell you which ones, but the episode didn't end there, and this is just, oh man, just sit down and strap yourselves in.
Let me ask you a question.
Quite a
Let me
season.
Ask you a question, and I'm not a Walking Dead guy. I don't watch this show.
I understand.
Do you think that it would have been more impactful if it had been
yes.
the other guy?
What other guy?
The other guy.
What other guy?
You actually said his name on the show a few weeks ago, but you thought it was going to be somebody else who was going to get his head bashed in.
No, I called both.
Did you?
No, I called both.
Oh.
I called both of them.
Oh, okay.
No, the only way that I feel that would have been more impactful is... And I've been thinking on this because, of course, there was the season 6 finale cliffhanger of who did Negan kill or who did Lucille, who did he hit with Lucille or this, that, and the other. Lucille is the baseball bat covered in barbed wire. I have gone back and forth, but I really feel that it would have been more impactful and left more of a last long impression if AMC would have moved that episode back one and then made the one episode that was the premiere last night, the finale. So instead of having the cliffhanger of who did he kill, we were just left with that awful, awful taste in our mouth.
Right.
From actually watching some of the most depraved footage on television, in my opinion, on television.
Right.
Movies, you can do other things.
Right.
On television.
Right.
This was sick, man.
Right.
This was sick.
It was pretty bad. Do you think that this puts them anywhere near the pantheon of Game of Thrones in terms of killing fan favorites off?
Well, Walking Dead hasn't really been about killing off fan favorites. Yes, Kirkman has said and proven that anybody can die at any time, but I feel like, at least from what I've seen on Game of Thrones, and I know I have a long way to go to play catch-up, but I feel like a lot of it is just not gratuitous death, but just to see how many and who
what episode
who we
are you
can
on?
Kill. Let's not get into that. I know a little bit of what happens. I'm very early on, but a lot of it seems to be who George R.R. Martin or whatever his name is. What's his name?
I
thought I got it.
Yeah, you got
I thought
it.
I'm pretty good with names. Who he can kill and what shock value he can get from killing off whose favorite character. There's a very, very deep and seated underlined story to Walking Dead.
It's like that in Game of Thrones too. Like there's some characters he kills off that are really like high profile, and it seems that way. But when 3 and 4 and 5 seasons down the road, when you start getting some reveals on what was going on behind the scenes, you're like,
what are y'all on? What season?
I believe season 6 is about to start.
Okay, we just started season 7, issue 100 in the comic. And I believe they're on 157 or 156 in the comic. The Walking Dead is going to be on for another 7 years at least.
Right.
On television.
Game of Thrones has a short season coming up and then another short season, and it's going to be done. Then they're already talking about spinoffs. Because there's George R. R. Martin has written an entire history of this world, so there's lots of other stories they could tell. Be really good. One other little TV tidbit for you guys, just if you guys are TV nuts like we are. Man, Lethal Weapon's good.
Is it really?
It is.
I want to watch it.
It's flat out good. Like, I was really skeptical. I thought it was going to be awful. The first episode, I was like, man, this intrigues me. It looks pretty good. The next couple, I was like, man, I'm kind of enjoying this. And now I'm to the point where I absolutely look forward to it every week.
I like it.
It is good.
I like it.
I like that show.
I've been looking for another show. I've got The Walking Dead. I've got Suits, which is also brilliant.
Great
show. Love that show. It makes me just feel maybe not smarter, but faster on my feet and just wittier and just you get that Harvey Specter, Mike Ross just banter back and forth. I love Suits.
Do you watch The Blacklist?
No.
The Blacklist is good.
Is it?
Man. Yes. The Blacklist is really good. Definitely check that show out. James Spader's incredible, man. Great actor. All right, can I get us out of here now? Or are we done?
Absolutely. I know. I like to talk.
Yeah. All right, man, guys. Well, we're out of here. So for Daniels, Jordan, Simo, everybody here at the Lone Star Crew, I'm Bryce reminding you to always go for two.